This week, my friends and I discuss movies that don't deserve the hate and others that don't deserve the love. Join us as we argue and bicker as to why a sociopathic Elvis, a Will Smith fish, and others may be in your new top 10, right here as we break out the dailies.
Okay, time to start.
Oh my God, Jesus.
Is that how it starts?
No, it's just, I didn't know how to interject. Hold on.
Okay. I didn't realize how close my mic was to my hands.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the third episode of Breakout the Dailies. Today is going to be a little bit of a, more relaxed episode since not a lot of stuff is going on cinematic-wise, just like most of the stuff we talked about last time, and that was like 2 weeks ago. I have three guests with me today. As usual, my friend Kevin is here.
Why?
Well, you're here now. He didn't want to be in it, but he was supposed to be an audience member, but you're here. I'm Bob Barker. Get down. Come on. Come on over here, Kev. Come on. Take a seat. Let's get this done. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, both chairs are taken. You're going to have to sit on a lap. Now you can choose between two. My friend before, who's here today.
The comedic relief without the comedy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And my friend Dom, who's also here today.
Yeah, I'm included.
Thank you for sounding excited. So, like I said, today's episode is going to be a bit more relax. I gave everyone here the topic, which is, what is your favorite movie that everybody else hates? But what is also your one movie that you hate that everybody loves? Like, that's what we're going to be discussing today. And because I want to keep it fair, I have a little, you guys don't see it, but I do. Got a little wheel here with all of our names on it.
I tell you not to use the
wheel,
bro. Oh, my God.
Wheel of Destiny. Okay.
Who's left? Turn.
It's color-coded, and I like it. I'm blue. Dom is red. Before you're yellow, Kevin, you're green. I don't know how to change it, but here we go.
But I don't want to be.
Too bad. You're already green. And
yellow is a color of cowardice. Change it.
Oh, okay. Well, it landed right back on me. I feel like this.
Yeah. Goofy. Oh. Goofy. What's your movie?
Okay.
Goofy.
Okay.
A Goofy movie. That is a great movie.
Okay. Well, the wheel. The wheel just froze. So.
What did it freeze on?
No, it chose my name, and then it immediately took my name and Kevin's name off of it. So it's just a wheel that says Dom and before.
All right, alphabetically, before it goes.
Okay. Hey,
this plan works. All right.
Listen.
Okay,
listen.
Fair enough. Before.
I'm gonna... All right. Now, I couldn't... I still am drawing a blank on... what movie to defend, but we were discussing earlier, you guys made the meme about defending Shark Tale, so that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
You're telling me you legitimately love Shark Tale.
We're gonna pretend that this is my favorite movie of all time.
No, don't. No, before you can't pretend.
No, let's not pretend. No. Let's have it on record.
This is gonna go down.
You have to pick a movie you legitimately love that everyone else hates.
Okay, episode 3 of Star Wars.
I feel like people like that movie.
See, people say they like the movie, but then if they had to choose between all of them, 3 is particularly low. Like, it's down there with, like, 2.
Oh.
No, 2 is the worst.
No.
I think 2 might be legit. 2 might be the worst.
2 might be... 2 is probably the worst of the prequels, except for the Geonosis fight, but that's just me.
I actually want to hear a convincing... Like, you have to convince us that Shark Tale is a great movie.
Yeah, I want you to tell me why I should watch that over The Godfather.
When it comes down to cinematic masterpieces, I want you to explain why Shark Tale is above Citizen Kane.
You know, I want you to tell me why Citizen Kane is for hacks.
You know what? I'm doing a timer right now. Let me hold on. Right now, I'm gonna give you. Let me give you 5 minutes to convince us why Shark Tale is amazing. Ready? Go.
Shark Tale is amazing because you remember that one scene in Shark Tale?
Right? Oh no,
Kev,
I think you know where I'm going with this. The scene in Shark Tale where I forget the shark's name, but his brother dies. You know, it was a really, really heartfelt scene, and then what followed that scene is one of the greatest comedic scenes that has ever been created in a movie. You know, just the I'm crazy, I've been tripping, cool off the child is one of the best things ever, you know. You can perfectly see the, like, how corrupt society is in that movie, you know. The sharks being on top because they're the apex predators of the ocean, so of course they have all the money. And then, you know, you got the little fishers at the bottom who wanna go up, you know, and be up there with the sharks, but they can't. And then I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but Shark Tale is a great movie.
So what I get is you think Shark Tale is a commentary on the socio-economical sort of capitalistic lifestyle where the rich are above the poor, and it's a more of a the grass is greener on the other side kind of story where it's a rags to riches.
Yeah, it's a rags to riches story, and also if you really peer into it, you could like, you know, dabble a little racism on there, you know.
So you're saying it's the child version of Parasite?
I haven't seen Parasite.
Wait, Kevin, I gotta understand. Four tried to slip it on the radar, and he's got like 3 minutes left. He threw in, it's racist. Can you please explain to us why, like, the reason Shark Tale is racist?
Absolutely. You want to know why I think it's racist?
The Jamaican jellyfish?
Exactly. You look at the jellyfish and they're f***ing Jamaican. You look at Oscar and you immediately know that is a proud black fish. You look at Angela or the f*** her name was, and you can tell that's a proud black woman playing the angel fish. I think that's what the kind of fish it was. Racism. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
But can I say something?
It's good.
Yes, you may.
The female fish wasn't voiced by a black woman.
Shut the fuck up, all right? Shut the fuck up.
I'm gonna have to throw the whole essay out now.
All right, Professor, what do I get? What do I get on this?
Honestly, the way how you you had like a minute and 40 left, so bravo for getting your points in that quick. You know, most professors would be like, you got to utilize all the time. I think it's greater if you get your points out before the time is up. So
I agree.
Points for that.
She was portraying Parker and Nate Zellweger. Oh,
yeah, that's like, I was like, played by a proud black man. What the hell are you talking about?
That's my second point. I'm glad that you proved that Renee Zellweger is a black woman.
Cut everything out.
Very controversial and honestly brave. So we'll keep that in.
Cut everything out.
It's great to see how much of this movie meant to you.
I give him credit for not even mentioning Robert De Niro or Martin Scorsese was in the movie. Also that Hans Zimmer did the score.
Hold on a minute.
Cut everything out. Come back to me when we're talking about the movie that everyone wants.
Now that you heard that weak defense, is it my turn?
Hold on. No. He gave for his favorite film that everyone hates. Now you have to. What is the movie that you hate that everybody loves?
2017's Beauty and the F***ing Beast.
Okay, okay. Is that the actual title?
Yes, 2017 Beauty and the Beast.
No, that's not what you said. That's not what you said before.
Okay, all right, listen. I'm going to read the title off of Google right now. I've been pulled up. Listen, Beauty and the Beast, in parentheses, 2017, in another parentheses, this movie is a take on the 1991 rendition of this movie.
Well, good on for Google for being so controversial. So, again, I'm going to give you, I've seen it once. And
I've also seen it once. Know,
that's one too many.
So I'm going to give you 5 minutes, I saw it once and, I thought Ewan McGregor was okay in it.
Ewan McGregor was in that movie?
Yeah, he was the candle.
He was the, the candle. Lumiere.
Yeah. And also, what was his name? It's either Patrick Stewart.
Ian McKellen.
That's it. Ian McKellen. It's one of the two.
He was
Okay, so I thought it was pretty. It was not that terrible. I want you to convince me that it was an absolute atrocity, against the Geneva Convention kind of stuff. So, 5 minutes, go.
Well, for one, no offense to Emma Watson, but she can't sing. she can't, and that's okay. It's okay not to be able to sing. I can't. Sing. But don't try and pass it off like you can. And then another thing, the CGI in the movie was really jarring to look at. And basically everything in that movie was CGI. The Beast looked weird as like it looked like his face was growing fur, but at the same time it was like shedding at the same time. It was weird. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me at all. Because like in the 1991 movie, you could see in the beginning, right? She doesn't want to be there, but she has to stay there to protect her dad. In this movie, right, it kind of does the same thing, but they're trying to fill in so much of the original in a really shorter amount of time. But at the same time, they're adding in things as well because it was a musical. And now they're not even doing the original songs justice, but they're adding in new ones. Why do you have to add in new ones if you can't even do the old ones right? That doesn't make any sense. And then you guys were saying it earlier. I didn't even remember this. He had a mirror, right? The seeing mirror that in the original movie, it could just show you what anybody is on the planet. In this one, it can teleport you there. Why didn't she just take it? And not even that. Why didn't he just use it and go anywhere else? You were stuck in there with a magic mirror that's basically Goku.
What?
But you stay in there for no reason. I don't understand it. Like it's really boring to watch. Like honestly, like if you watch the old one and you watch the new one, you can tell that it was like a cash grab. But it was unneeded. It was completely unneeded.
Pretty sure it made $1 billion. So yeah, it was a cash grab.
I didn't know it made that much money. There's no like emotional weight behind it, you know? Like when you're watching the old one, like you can feel it. Like there's like it might be my nostalgia talking, but like you feel something. You feel for Belle, you feel for the Beast, you feel for all the servants that have been turned into household items. In this one, you're just kind of watching it because you expect that. But then it doesn't deliver at all. It's just they're kind of just like reading from the scripts and looking at a camera. But
what about how they like tone down Gaston's like muscles?
Gaston should have been a hulking brute. But I don't even remember. I honest to God do not remember what he looks like in the movie. The only thing I remember from the movie, genuinely, like that can pop into my head immediately, is how the Beast looks and Emma Watson's really weird singing. That's it. And how weird Cosworth looked as a clock.
So it made $1.2 billion.
It made one. Wow. That's Jesus, that's a lot of money. That's a
yeah,
lot
nostalgia of money. Will do that to you, man.
That's crazy. I mean, I bootlegged it, so I didn't contribute to what action I did contribute to.
Things to say on a live show.
What are they gonna do? Actually, wait, I shouldn't say that.
All right, so the FBI there we go.
That's, we're cutting all of that out.
You had a minute and 28 left. Honestly, yeah. The way you described it, you know, a lot of the terrible, terrible things about it, you convinced me. It's a terrible, terrible film. Is it an atrocity?
Yes.
I think it should be considered an atrocity. Like, it itself, right? If we're looking at it on its own, it is a average to low average film. But the reason that I think it's such a bad movie is because what it's based off of, the original movie it's based off of, is a classic movie. You can watch Beauty and the Beast any time of the year and multiple times during the year, and it's still going to be a good movie. Even the really shitty holiday classic that came after it, that was better than the 2017
That's
edition.
Saying a lot. Also, props for you for remembering that.
Yeah, no, the thing in that was an organ, a talking organ, and that was a better movie. And it was like 30 minutes long? Like,
yeah.
Isn't that just a Brave Little Toaster?
I like Brave Little Toaster.
Like, that's the reason it is such a bad movie. Because if you look at the original and then you look at the new one, you can see that there wasn't a lot of love in it. People didn't care. They just really needed the money, and they got their money because 1.2 billion. I did not know it made that much money.
Oh, I mean, a lot
you
of
seem
money.
Genuinely surprised by this.
I did not think it made that much money.
I saw it in a crowded theater on opening night, man. Trust me.
Wow.
That blows my mind.
Oh, so
I had to take my sister. Okay.
Oh sure.
I'm not judging you. Just wow. Just it's so.
I mean, think about it this. It's a kids' movie. So let's say you have a family of like two kids and a wife. You're gonna buy four tickets. So every like family is buying four tickets. It adds up.
Yeah, man.
Because you know it's for kids. One thing that did bother me the most is that they had the best singer in the movie play a dresser that sleeps all the time.
Yeah.
Because she was played by like Audrey McDonald, I think is her name, and she's like an actual Tony Award winning like Broadway singer. And she doesn't get to sing in the movie.
That's fine.
And that's also funny because the dresser sang a lot in the original movie.
I don't remember. I don't remember looking back on those movies and going, "Man, that dresser could sing."
I don't remember. I gotta rewatch this movie.
The dresser had like I'm pretty sure a whole solo, and like she has a very high voice. She has a very distinct voice in the original movie. So the fact that the dresser didn't sing at all. It's another.
I'm gonna contact Radio Disney right now. I'm gonna make them play the dresser's solo song from Beauty and the Beast.
One thing they kept accurate is that the original and this one is that no one had a French accent. Just everyone's French. That's okay.
That's true. That's true. Like,
consistency.
French.
Thank you, Don. That's the word. Consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonjour.
Honestly,
we live in New France, and it's not as colorful as it was in like the animated version.
We're Boston
because I'm still stuck on imitating Ben Affleck. I am France. Go Sox.
At the end of the episode,
that's horrible.
That's awful. That was actually awful. Can we talk about
go
that?
Sox.
At the end of the episode, I would like to defend the real movie I wanted to defend because I feel like my take for Shark Tale was really.
Oh, no, it absolutely was.
No, that was a great take on Shark Tale.
And I really
wanted to go after that one because I could feel how easy it would be.
You know what? Guess what, Dom? You are next if we're going alphabetical because the wheel's not spinning.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
No, I meant after he said talked about Shark Tale, because I was gonna do Riddick, which I still am. Which is obviously a much better movie. How did he describe Shark Tale as a possibly racist movie? Hold on.
I gotta start the timer. Hold on. All right, you got five minutes to
take 30 seconds off of that. I got because you know I was random for a little bit. All right. Don't worry, we're gonna be good. So you wanna know what's actually a racist movie? In Riddick, this cinematic masterpiece, this absolute marvel of cinematography, when literally his whole race except for him was massacred. Why? Racism.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. That's the real racist movie here. And that's not even what I came here to talk about. I came here to talk about the perfection, the way they grip you in, they pull you into the movie in the first like 5 minutes when they tell you the three mistakes that they made when hunting down the Riddick. Say this bad literally jumps into their ship, hijacks their ship on purpose. Just so later in the movie, when the bounty hunters come back, he can let them kidnap him. You hear the size of this man's brain? He was thinking 5 years ahead.
Absolutely smooth.
Oh my god.
Smooth brain.
Oh, it was
no crevice.
Well, not even smooth. I'll tell you there's more wrinkles in that brain than. Oh.
I was gonna say, can we talk about how he was talking about how the cinematography was great, and then he was talking about racism afterwards?
Whoa.
We start. All right, start the timer. Let's go. Oh. 3 minutes, 47.
Obviously.
Defend racism.
Because when they were... you want me to defend racism?
No. Defend the cinematography. Wait a minute. Hold on. I was making a joke.
That's a different podcast.
Well, you spoiled my pick, because I was going to talk about Song of the South now.
Oh no.
Oh man!
Dom. 3:16. Go.
3:16. Oh, we still got plenty of time. Plenty of time. Tell you. In the hands down, the best movie in that line. I repeat this every time I play video games and I steal from other people in those games. You keep what you kill, and that's the thing. That's the thing you need to take from this movie. That every time you kill something, you take what is theirs. Easy dubs right there. It's literally the fundamental rules behind every video game with items dropping, behind getting promoted in the world, not literally killing them, but beating the competition and taking what was going to be theirs. You know, you can apply that rule to almost everything. And that's why it's so much better of a movie. Then what was it? Dolphin Tale? Oh, I mean Shark Tale. My bad. I remember that dolphins bully sharks, so you know I thought it was a superior animal. That's my bad.
So you're saying Riddick is a commentary on, I guess, like personal finance or like how to work your way up in like the world of business.
Whoa. It's not a personal commentary. It's a how-to guide to moving up in the world. You'll notice at the beginning of the movie, Riddick starts off a bum. He literally has a beard longer than his forearm, we'll say that instead, and his hair even longer. And he's literally living in like on a deserted planet. And at the end of the movie, he's a king. He's literally a king. Okay. It is rags to riches, better than... Shark Tale.
I feel like
I had to
actually
think about the name again.
I believe that second
didn't know,
part.
I didn't know we were like fighting each other because he's going after Shark Tale a lot.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so
wait, I'm not supposed to go after Shark Tale because I can calm down a little bit.
No, go after Shark Tale because I hated myself for talking about that for 5 minutes.
Yeah, Dom, you had a minute and 17 left, and I gotta say, you know, it's very brave to bash someone else's favorite movie to justify your own, but you know, you're right. You know, the whole rags to riches kind of thing. You know, you're right. I think I don't know what came out first, Riddick or Shark Tale, but now it doesn't matter because Riddick did it first. That you've convinced me.
I think they came out the same year. Let me double check that.
I would like to preface for the listening audience that I picked Shark Tale as a meme, and it was a failed meme, which brings me back to my point that I am the comedic relief without the comedy. I brought it full circle.
They came out the exact same year.
Whoa, my God.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that they released the same movie twice? That's
Oh, you mean Olympus has fallen and the White House down?
Okay, so now Dom, it is your turn. Well, it's the next part of your discussion is to give your movie that everybody loves, but you hate. And what have you chosen?
Like I have been ranting about for a while before we started, I don't like Blade Runner at all. Ooh. Like the original one. I genuinely dislike that movie.
Oh, okay.
It's too long. I'm
starting the timer.
It's too...
Sorry. Oh. Go ahead. Go.
The movie itself is too long. The pace of the movie is too slow. For a noir film, it's... Like, the plot of itself, it isn't bad, but, like, when they actually get to the investigating stuff, like I said, the movie is just really long, so you just lose interest. And then when they actually do get to the actual action sequences in the movie, they don't feel that
real.
They feel realistic. It's just they don't feel as threatening because they were literally dancing. They were dance fighting. Like when I was watching the android literally come after the detective, I'm forgetting what the actual name, Harrison Ford. When I was watching that,
Decker.
His name's Blade M. Runner.
Oh, you're right, Mr.
No,
Mr. Like at the end of the movie when they like after the other replicants had already died. I mean, those ones were kind of. It was closer to dance fighting the one, but the one before the final replicant, it was just the pace of that fight was kind of slow, and it was less like it didn't feel like a fight. It felt like he was just kind of bouncing around him, going like ha 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 ha, we're fighting, poke through a wall, ha ha, I know you have a gun, that's cute, oh, you can't shoot me, oh.
So like a couple sort of like play fighting in their house.
Yeah, yeah. Except it wasn't romantic at all, and not hot. So it was kind of sad to watch almost. And then when they finally get to like the end of the fight, when you think the movie's gonna end with like the replicant kind of like killing Deckard, he like reaches down and like pulls him up, and I'm just like, okay. I mean, that's cool. I get it because they had like the dove and the symbol. All the symbolism and everything in that scene. That scene, I will admit, that the symbolism was very nice, and the whole life and death, rebirth type.
You're talking about the scene in the roof about the tears in the rain.
Back to what I was saying. we're gonna ignore what Kevin just said.
Yeah, no, I'm helping you. I'm helping you.
Okay. Back to what I was saying. I was only briefly saying that part was nice. I'm still bashing the movie. Yeah, okay,
you're doing a worse job. You're actually proving Kevin right, where it might be actually a good movie. You got a minute and 50 to actually bash the movie to prove to us. And I paused it, so you can go now.
Oh, thank you. You want to know why it's bad? Obviously, have you seen, I'll tell you what, have you seen the actual shots in that movie, the landscape shots? Not the landscape shots, like when they actually do like just continuous shots in the movie, it's horrible. You can tell it's fake. You can tell they literally just got some Lego bricks together and was like, okay, here you go, this is the little car flying. Yeah, that was literally the noise it made in that movie. It was just awful watching. I tell you, that movie did better putting me to sleep than it did keeping my attention. And I mean, I did get a good nap out of it. It was nice, that nap. I dreamed about a better movie. I dreamed about Riddick.
Oh, 53 seconds left. So your biggest takeaway is they or like the one big main point is that it was boring and they why didn't they construct an entire city to film this movie?
I mean, that would have improved it. I think, generally speaking, if they just sped up the pace of the film, it would have been a bit more interesting.
Didn't they remaster it so it did, like, take out a good chunk of it?
No, the 2007 Final Cut, they removed the voiceover from Harrison Ford, and they added the – they kept in the unicorn sequence, and the ending's a little different, where they had – they did take out the part of the ending where there's a driveway scene, and they cut it off of him grabbing Rachel and running away.
Okay, I thought
– I will admit, the only movie that I think is worse than Blade Runner is Blade Runner 2049.
Okay, Let's not get crazy. Let's not get kooky here.
Since no one knows this, those are two of my favorite movies. Actually, Blade Runner is my favorite movie, and Blade Runner 2049 is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, that movie is only good if you love Blade Runner.
I love Blade Runner.
See,
it's my favorite movie. I just said it was my favorite.
The pacing in 2049 wasn't as bad as the first one. The first one felt like a tourism video of a city I would never go to. So it was just boring. So I would agree on you.
No, I wasn't going to talk about the pacing being bad in 2049. I was going to talk about how they had so many inside jokes in the movie that if you didn't religiously watch the first one, you were just kind of like, oh, okay, this is happening because reason that wasn't well explained yet.
What, like Jared Leto being blind?
Yes, that is, you could include that among the things.
Oh, I'm blind. I took out my eyes so I can use these little fish cameras to see. Ooh, isn't that amazing? And Kevin hate it.
You can hear the pain in his voice.
No, I don't care if you guys hate it. It's just that I want to argue why Dom, like, I'm not going to. Never mind. It's too much work.
All right. Should I just get through mine? Yeah. All right. Just rip off that
bandage. What do you have to say, podcast host?
Okay, fair enough. The one movie that I love that everybody hates is 3,000 Miles to Graceland. For Dom, have you ever heard that movie? I know Kev has.
I've never heard of the movie before this day.
Okay, no. All right. So, all right. Here's a timer. All right, ready? Go. Okay, so 3,000 Miles to Graceland is the greatest movie because of how cheesy and campy and weird it is, because the entire premise revolves around I forget the actor's name right now because I'm under stress. He's from Waterworld. Kevin Costner. Who thinks he's the son of Elvis Presley, but at the same time, he's like this psychopath who's like driving around smoking cigarettes and getting like in his car when he's like driving alongside like motorcyclists. And he's like, yeah, getting a in a car. Look at you go, man. You're Elvis's kid. And then, but really, Elvis's real kid is the bad guy from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Kurt Russell.
Thank you. Is Kurt Russell?
That's a Kurt Russell movie you go to.
I said that because I knew that's what you guys would most likely have watched recently. Excuse me.
You could have said the same.
I know. Shut up.
Tombstone. Okay.
I know. I know you would know it, Kevin. I'm trying to relate to everybody.
I watched the thing like 2 months ago.
Trying to be relatable. Anyway. That really annoying woman from Friends is in it, but you really don't care about her.
The only annoying woman in Friends!
All of them?
Only the black-haired one.
Courtney Cox!
That's it, yeah. She's in there, and you really don't care about her. But honestly, most of it, you're just in there because of, like, the fight scenes, and it's like, oh, look at them, they're being cool. Especially, like, the robbery in the beginning, when it's, like, four guys dress up as Elvis, and they rob, like, a whole casino, and only like Kevin Costner and Kurt Russell make it out. It's like this cool little back and forth thing between them. It's like, ooh, they're bad. He's good, kind of. It's like, ooh, who are we supposed to root for? And then in the end, it's like this really cool thing with like a scorpion and it goes like that. And it like it gets Kevin Costner. Is that who it is? I've completely forgotten now. But it's on.
I'm sorry.
But Kevin Costner is like he's like really edgy. It's like an early, if you want an early 2000 film that emphasizes the cheesy and like horribleness of like the early 2000s of films, this is it. But it does it so great and it's so entertaining to watch that I think it's willing to like suffer through like those cliches of an early 2000s film. That is why I think 3,000 Miles to Graceland is my favorite movie. Boom. 2 minutes left on the clock.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Ethan.
What?
Before today, I didn't know what this movie was. I wish I could go back to the movie from 5 minutes ago.
And you would watch it?
No, I wouldn't.
No, you know, I think this sounds like a perfectly badass movie.
Thank you, Dom.
Of course you were, Dom.
I've looked up precisely 3 pictures on the movie, and I'm convinced it's a sick masterpiece.
Ethan, you want to know why? I shouldn't even be insulted by this, considering I recently saw this movie. But the fact that you said Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and not The Thing.
Okay.
Or the Oscar-winning Christmas Chronicle.
Oh, God, Kevin.
When you said Guardians of the Galaxy villain, I just thought of Ego. I didn't even think of Kurt Russell.
I know Kurt Russell has been in other films, and my favorite one that he was in was
Hatefully.
Big Trouble in Little China.
That was my second guess.
Yeah, it's great. I just said that one because it was the last movie that I watched that he was in, and what was it? Also, it relates to like the younger generation that don't know. So, excuse me.
Kevin's a literal movie.
I know, but there's listeners here. Come on.
You could have said Sky High.
I say again.
Very good. Okay. So,
it relates to the younger generation.
I mean, it's not like you said, oh, yeah, the younger generation wouldn't know Tango and Cash. Of course, they wouldn't know Tango and Cash, but, you know, they'll know, like, Escape from New York, I hope.
Oh, no, I don't think they would know Escape from New York.
I think you're severely overestimating what, quote-unquote young people watch.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, apparently the biggest disgrace of my entire audience is that I chose the wrong movie to reference for Kurt Russell.
Yeah, you didn't even talk about his great performance in The Fate of the Furious.
I forgot he was in that shit!
and he was Mr. Nobody.
Oh my God, he was Mr. Nobody. My goodness.
Remember, he gets the Rock out of prison to help him.
I gotta go rewatch Fate of the Furious.
Wait, though. No, you're supposed to go watch 3,000 Miles to Graceland. You're not supposed to. You can't just. Kevin didn't even defend that movie.
I went. Okay. is terrible.
Kevin, would you watch it? Would you watch 3,000? I know you've seen it, but would you watch it again?
You know what? I don't like it. You do.
What? I thought you said you liked it.
I never said
that. Do you like it now?
He's getting played!
But I will watch it with your eyes and your perspective now if you want me to.
Thank you. Okay.
Ethan, I'll watch it if I have...
Was I talking to you?
Wow. Hey, Ethan! I'll watch it.
Thank you, Dom. That's 2 out of that's all two.
Hey, accept my apology, you.
Thank you. Would you watch the film?
Yeah, I watched. suck you in your shit when I say I hate it.
Who could have seen that coming?
Hey, you started it.
Locomotive hit by train while standing on train tracks. Surprised. Okay. So there was my favorite. Now I'm going to give you the one that everybody loves, quote unquote loves, but they like it. But that I really didn't like. It's have you seen the movie Seven with Brad Pitt?
I actually never saw that movie. The
Robert Fincher movie.
Let me see.
I know Robert
it has God in it.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. See? There we go. Peeling to
you
the
can't just say Morgan Freeman! Why are you doing this?
David Fincher. Why did I say Robert Fincher? I'm losing it, man.
Kevin Spacey's also in the movie.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's not God.
Can't talk about it.
You're right.
Can't talk about Kevin Spacey anymore.
Wait, is that the movie where the guy where rappers like you know what's in the box?
Yeah.
What's in the box? Okay. So I got 5 minutes on the clock. I'm going to tell you guys why I hate this movie and why you and before you shouldn't see it. I don't know. Dom,
why are you putting me
up? Dom, have you seen this?
I've seen select parts of the movie.
Okay,
yes.
You watch clips on Watch Mojo at like midnight, right?
Why was that? That was really exact towards me, and it wasn't towards me. It wasn't even directed towards me.
All right, 5 minutes on the clock. Here we go. All right, let me just start off by saying I hate Brad Pitt.
It was great in Deadpool.
Thank you. I gave.
The podcast is over, guys. It was nice knowing you.
I said I hate Brad Pitt to piss off Kevin. that was worth the minute. all right. So why I didn't like Seven is because I'll give it to the ending. The whole it's like when it spoiler for those who didn't see it. You know the whole head in the box kind of thing. It's like the whole premise is that you know Kevin Spacey's a murderer and he's murdering people for that signify like the seven deadly sins.
Remember like a couple months ago when we had the seven deadly sins as our Discord's names, right? Mm-hmm. Would this mean that Kevin Spacey would kill me because I am considered gluttony, quote unquote?
He would kill you and then like put your name
making in. You eat spaghetti. Yeah.
that was weird.
That was very weird.
They made him eat spaghetti and they put a poop bucket on his head.
I
think I remember a poop bucket. Like, for some reason,
they made him eat spaghetti out of a poop bucket.
No, he didn't eat out of the poop bucket. It was underneath him. It's not a poop bucket, then it's a spaghetti bucket.
Is this part of your time?
No, it's not. okay, all right, back on the clock. Okay, so a poop bucket. Okay, so, all right. So, the reason I really didn't like this film is because of the ending. It was like they kind of phoned like all the other sins, you know, they were planned out and they were kind of good. The most traumatic one being lust. I'm not going to explain it because if you're going to see it, you're going to hate it as well because of how messed up it is. But it turns out
that's
like,
why I like it.
No,
it's pretty messed up. Yeah,
it's what was it? Kevin Spacey turns out to be Envy and Brad Pitt turns out to be Wrath. And it's like, oh, wow, that's how turntable-y that is. And I thought it was just like, we kind of saw that coming, that Brad Pitt with like Wrath. But saying Kevin Spacey was Envy because he liked, did he say he liked Brad Pitt's life? Or he envied his life or something like that? I'm just in the wind, apparently.
I'm not gonna. I don't want to interrupt you, but yeah.
It's like that's what it was, and I don't know. When you do a movie like that, and it does so well in the beginning, in the middle, and then it just phones it in at the end, and it just relies on the whole like, oh, the head in the box kind of thing. Oh, wow, that's so edgy. And then Morgan Freeman didn't even retire. That's all you would talk about in the entire film, and then he doesn't retire in the end. We had a blue Morgan. But that's about it. That's why I didn't like Seven. Also, I don't like the number seven. There we go.
What? Now
we know why he doesn't like the movie.
No, no, no. I'm not going to talk anymore about it because I got the timer on exactly 2:22. So that's it.
Nice.
How dare you say that about the number 7?
What does the number 7 ever do to you?
This podcast will only go for 17 minutes and 7 seconds from now on.
Nope. No, I got to do the outro. I will play the song longer than it needs to.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right, so there's my argument. Did you guys want to see 7?
Are you assuming like none of us have seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched like clips.
I don't want to see it now because you vehemently hate it.
Was it the poop bucket?
It was the poop bucket.
Wow.
It was the poop bucket. I want to see Kevin Spacey head in the box.
No, that's...
Kevin Spacey was in a box, you're right.
Yep. I thought that's what he said.
He's in a box now in real life.
It's exactly what he said, yes.
Yeah, he is. I can't say that.
He's in a societal box.
Do you think it played out exactly like when Kevin Spacey gave himself up to Brad Pitt, like when he walked into like the police office? And he's like, detective! Do you think he did that in real life?
That was a pretty good Kevin Spacey right there. That was pretty good.
If he did do that, and I was a fan of Kevin Spacey, I would have cried.
You just go, oh, Kevin, you scamp. Don't touch kids.
Yes, no. I would have been like, God, Mr. Spacey, why did you have to do it?
I love his yearly video where he just talks in a weird voice and something ominous or like nothing ever happens.
Oh, he just stares at the camera.
You ever seen those? Like every Christmas, he comes out a video of him talking about like something, and it's really ominous and weird. And...
No, I think I'm good though.
It's like I stopped looking at those yearly videos.
He like just makes a yearly video of him talking about like something ominous, and then like that's it. And everyone's just like, "What?" And that's like the only time we ever talk about Kevin Spacey. Now
he had so much material. Now
the last time I saw an ominous video was a Papa John.
What?
Telling us about the Day of Reckoning.
Is that the one where he ate 37 pizzas?
His face was so greasy.
Now, Kevin, it's your turn. And
all right, I'll go fast because
you wanted to give.
Oh, go fast!
You wanted 3 minutes on the clock?
Give me like 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna do both movies in a minute.
So the and the movie you hate. In 1 minute. Okay. All right. Yep. I want to see this. Let me... All right. Google. Okay.
Speed run.
All right. Let me stop. Reset. All right.
Give me like a 3-2-1 go. All right.
3-2-1 go.
So the latest theme this year is that we live in a society, so both of my movies are in that theme. Okay. First one is Demolition Man movie. I love that no one else likes because apparently it's not that good. But actually, it holds up more as time goes on because we've come to that society where everything's trying to be PC and everything that's quote-unquote daffy gets pushed down to an underground society, and that's kind of like what Reddit has become, where everyone just talks about things that like societal norms are not allowed to talk about. And that movie kind of shows that in kind of a personified way, where you see like the upper ground where everyone's has to like, there's no swearing, there's no smoking, there's no cursing,
30 seconds,
sex is virtual. And now at the end of the movie, you see that you need a little bit of that bad side that the 90s show, and it kind of shows you have to have a good balance. The movie I hate that everyone else likes is The Joker. I don't understand why people, actually I do understand, it's because people have never seen an edgy movie before and they think, wow, this is deep, dark, but it's been done 1,000 times before and we've already seen it, and it's only good because the score was great. Done.
You had 6 seconds left.
Holy shit, he actually did
wow,
it.
Wow, the madman. For clarification, the first one was Demolition Man, right?
Yeah, Demolition
okay.
Man.
Okay, just making sure.
And how did I do though?
Honest to God, well...
A decent defense, I'd say. Yeah. You know, it wasn't bad.
Shut up, Tom! God!
I will say for the Joker defense, that's true. It's the edgy movie for people who don't want to watch edgy films, but they want to...
No, it's edgy for the people that have never seen an edgy film. They think, wow, this is amazing.
I'm glad you didn't say King of Comedy or taxi driver. And...
Everyone's made that Joker.
Well, I thought you did really well, Kevin. So I'm not going to go watch Joker, but I am going to go watch Demolition Man.
I'm serious, though. It holds up more now than it ever did because that is the society we have become.
Is that the...
You actually just want to go watch
I've
Demolition
never watched
Man.
Joker.
You actually saw Joker?
No, I never watched it. Wasn't
I did not know that, actually. I thought you did.
No, I just wasn't interested, so I didn't go see it. I was like, eh, okay.
Would you watch it now, cool. after Kevin's debate?
I mean, I can. I was... It doesn't... Watching it or not watching it doesn't bother me. I've seen a lot of indie movies.
If it really don't involve a bald man whose main points of living are family, he doesn't want to watch it.
Honestly, you know, every Vin Diesel movie is honestly, it's the best movie that's ever been made. He consistently tops himself every time. Even Bloodshot was a
I know you hated Bloodshot because there was one day we were out and we were just walking. You know, he's like, yeah, I saw Bloodshot. It was f***ing terrible.
Oh, Dom, how do you retort?
How do I retort?
What he said to me.
That was a different guy. You got the wrong bald guy.
Wow. Also, Wesley Snipes was really funny in Demolition.
I get it confused. Is that the... Like, I know Wesley Snipes was in Demolition Man. Was Sandra Bullock in it?
Yeah.
Was Billy Crystal in it? Was it Billy Crystal?
Yeah, wait. No, he wasn't.
Who was, like, the... Oh, no, Rob Schneider. Sorry.
Yeah. He was, the police receptionist.
Yeah. Demolition Man, I honest to God thought it was the same thing as the first Judge Dredd.
No, that's... Rob Schneider was in that too.
Well, yeah. Hold on now. Don't get me excited.
Hello.
What?
Hello.
What are you saying?
Hello.
I am hello.
What is happening? What is happening right now? What is happening right now? Yeah,
I knew you'd say that. What the?
Do you know who you are right now? that's the summary of Judge Dredd. That's it. Let me put down 4 minutes.
Wait, hold on. Wasn't before supposed to?
That's what I mean. That's why I put the 4 minutes on. That's before. This is for your what is it? Your favorite movie that everybody hates.
Yup.
Okay. All right. What is your favorite movie?
Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3 from 2007.
Nice.
Okay, all right. I'm going to start the clock now. Go ahead.
Now, the reason, and this is mostly me, but the first time I watched the 2007 Sam Raimi film, I was doing it in like a serious light because the movie was, you know, trying to be all dark and brooding and edgy and shit. But I think the reason that it is... a movie that has a lot of rewatchability now is because it tries to take itself too seriously, and that's what makes it funny. Because there's a lot of moments in that movie that are like in a super serious light, but you can't help but laugh at it, and that's why so many Spider-Man 3 memes are like, you know, resurging nowadays. For one, you have the Peter Parker dancing meme when he first gets the black suit. You have the "I'm gonna put some dirt in your eyes" scene when he's fighting Harry. You got it's kind of fucked up, but the scene where he's going to dinner with Mary Jane and she's being a total bitch for no reason. So he like drops the ring in the champagne and he's like all sad and he just like takes it out and he's just drying it off with a melancholy look on his face. I don't know why that makes me laugh really fucking hard. Another scene that's really funny in there is the Eddie Brock transformation. Because it's so, they're trying to make it serious, but it just looks so goofy with the CGI and him like screaming his heart out and then the little weird smile he does at the end and then he rushes the camera. there's a lot of comedic moments in that movie, which is why I think like as a comedy, it does really well. As a serious movie, it fucking sucks. So if you watch it in a serious light, you know, you're going to be like, wow, this is kind of mid, but if you watch it for laughs, it's great. It's like an 8 out of 10. But yeah, that's my defense. And see, that was an actual defense because, you know, I'm not defending a f-ing fish.
How long was that? That wasn't funny.
That was 2 minutes.
All right, can I have the rest of the 2 minutes to talk about Spider-Man 3?
Yes, you can.
Okay,
go.
All right, this is a double defense. Oh my god, it's like what's that TBS? I feel like there's definitely a TBS show about like two lawyers.
Boston Legal? Because I love that show.
Why not? All right. whichever one of you is Boston, which one of you is legal. Go ahead.
I'm legally blonde. Okay
go.
Right, no.
To defend the dramatic parts, I do think the entire Sandman arc in that movie works really well dramatically. The him having to struggle, not being able to like see his daughter, him turning into the Sandman was a great scene. Him, like, there was no dialogue. It was just him. You felt like the sadness, the turmoil inside him the entire time. Another funny scene that before forgot to mention was the what was it? You get this rent when you fix this door.
Oh my god! Oh shit! Thank you.
That was hilarious. And you know, the third one is the only time I actually care about their romance, because I do feel the turmoil between him, is balancing him, his best friend coming back, all that. I do, and I. What's wrong? You gonna cry? Little guy, we gonna cry? Okay.
All right. So there's a minute left.
Wow, that was a solid defense.
That was good.
By those two people, I think it's only right that one of us, either you or me, Ethan, you or me, one of us has to bash on the movie.
Oh, for the remainder minute?
Okay. It only seems right.
Why is they left? Devil's advocate?
Okay, well, honestly...
Well, you guys are the ones that left the minute. In my opinion, it's only right to bash on the movie at this point.
Dom, I think you have the energy right now to absolutely, you know, give it the old 1-2. So I'm going to give you that 1:13, and it's going to come.
Right.
So I feel like now it comes down to the decision of mine if I want to see this movie again or not. So
okay.
There you go. 1:13. No.
Well, first off, that we have to point out the blaring red flag about this movie, how they made a metaphorical blackface.
The most racist thing I've seen.
And on top of that,
this seems like a good time for an ad read. This week's episode is brought to you by Fake Ads. That's right, for those times when your friend brings up too heavy of a topic in order to play Devil's Advocate for a movie from 2007, and you want to avoid a cease and desist from the FCC, use Fake Ads. And remember, if they aren't misdirecting, interjecting, and fine avoiding, it's not a fake ad. Now back to the show. I'm going to have to cut this part out.
You know what's funny? I like it more than Homecoming and Far From Home. I said it.
I can honestly say I like this better than Far From Home. I won't say I like it more than Homecoming. I like Homecoming.
I don't like either of them.
Any of Tom Holland's or Andrew Garfield's. That's why 3 looks so good now, is because what came after was just so bad.
Well, I think it's just because it looks like you're trying to do like a live action Spider-Verse type movie, and I would love that.
Yeah.
But it's all casting rumors so far. I'm not sure what's official, what's not anymore. So.
Yeah.
It's now what's the new name for the Spider-Man film? Like what's the?
Oh. Hang on.
Far From Home. No, that's the other one.
No, it's No Way Home. No Way Home. No Way Home.
No Way Home.
No Way Home.
Is this the part of the podcast?
Yeah, it's still going on. What did you? I didn't end. I didn't say. All right, that's it. Dude, it's been an hour. We are way over time.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of Breakout the Dailies. I want to thank my guests for this evening, my friends Dom before and Kevin for really going all out on their arguments for their films. You know, they changed some minds, changed some hearts. I feel like I'm a different man altogether.
He's changed nothing. He's lying.
He's lying through his teeth.
He's lying through his teeth. Unless you go and watch Spider-Man 3 or Riddick right after you sign off of this entire thing was bullshit.
Or Demolition Man.
Or Demolition Man.
Or 3,000 miles to Graceland.
No one cares about your
Everyone does. Shut up. Just say goodnight, guys.
Good night. Stay funny. Don't be like me.
Say goodnight, Kevin and Dom.
Oh, good morning.
Oh, God.
Good night. Yeah, good night.
Blade Runner's good. Dom doesn't know what he's talking about. Good night.
Oh.
Now all I have to do is just pick out that little point from the conversation to put at like the very end.
Ethan, please.
It's gonna be about Dark Tale, man.
Please, yes. Please.